We got up early today. We watched the presentation at the Steve Jobs Theater, and now we're going to, in at our leisure, dissect every word, every syllable, every bit. Andy Iannacco's here. Alex Lindsay is here as well. We're going to talk about the new Apple announcements next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 575, recorded Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. The new iPhones are here. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team's skills up to date. Visit itpro.tv/MacBreak and use the code MacBreak30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by WordPress. Your customers want to find you. Build a WordPress.com website and help them connect with your business. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at wordpress.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. And finally, there is news from Apple, quite a bit of news. But just to reassure everyone, there is no Mac news. There is no HomePod news. There is only Apple iPhone, Apple TV.
The iOS clan.
It's the iOS clan and the Apple Watch. Alex Lindsay is joining me in the studio. He was here earlier today during the Apple event. We watched it live together.
Play by play.
In fact, we have, if you haven't seen it, a video of it. You can watch our play-by-play, Megan Maroney and Alex Lindsay and I. Also with us, he was home watching with great interest, Andy Iannacco, taking notes, writing, scribbling from the Chicago Sun-Times. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Renee not with us because he's actually touching an iPhone X right now.
The thing is with Renee, I would understand and I wouldn't fault him if he heard about the new watch bands and said, no, I'll check out the iPhone X at the end. Let me see those watch bands.
Let me look at those bands. That's what I'm really interested in. Actually, let's start with the Apple Watch because Apple did. Well, but they began actually. Let's start where they began, which is with a beautiful video, I thought, almost live of the outside of the Steve Jobs Theater, the Apple Park campus, journalists kind of coming in, but it was obviously not live because it, you know, it was beautifully edited. Everybody looked good. There was nobody scratching their butt. So
we didn't recognize anybody.
And we didn't recognize anybody. So who knows? It might have been taped 3 days ago.
They only got the people with YouTube channels that are camera ready. They didn't get the actual newspaper.
Not the actual press. And then they descended into the theater. There's nothing, just to answer some of our questions that we had, the glass dome in the middle, there was nothing. There wasn't even a registration table. I don't know where they registered. It must have been somewhere before that.
There seemed to be like a, if you looked up, there was like a not a real constellation of stars, but there were concentric rings with little spot like white, so super bright whites. So I was, of course, I spent much of the morning watching friends' Instagrams of their.
It was gorgeous.
a little bit gorgeous. Yeah. It does look like one of the least fun parts of those events is the milling about time where you're just all sort of crushed into one place. And it's like cafeteria day at the high school where it's like you don't know who you're supposed to be talking to or whatever. And it looks like there's like a lot of space, a lot of air there. So it looks like it's going to be a fun place to hang out.
Yeah, really. There's those lights you were talking about on the world's largest freestanding carbon fiber roof. Just held up by the glass, and it was completely empty. I think the demo area is obviously downstairs. We were maybe deceived by labeling on the plans. Really pretty, very Apple, very much in an Apple locale.
And that's what they did with the elevator. It's just
nice job, Apple.
Very beautiful.
Everything about that space is hard. Like when you look at it from a construction perspective, all the curved and everything is registered perfectly. I mean, it's just, they're just showing off.
Yeah.
First time ever on the new Apple Park with the Steve Jobs Theater. They began with a pre-recorded tribute to Steve Jobs in his own voice. Quite moving and beautiful and quite appropriate. Tim Cook came out and acknowledged, you know, that this is the theater Steve built.
It really was like consecrating a brand new cathedral that took 10, 20, 30 years to build, where you could really see the emotion in Tim's voice. And it really was a dedication, not just of this, not just of the space, but of the legacy of Steve Jobs, essentially making it the Apple mantra. That one of the ways I think that I believe people express their appreciation to the rest of humanity is to make something wonderful and put it out there. And you never meet the people, and you never shake their hands or hear their stories or tell yours. But in making it, but something is transmitted there, and it's a way of expressing to the rest of the species our deep appreciation. So we need to be true to who we are and remember what's really important to us, and that's what's going to keep Apple. You saw the other line. There's so many lines that I really wanted to write down. He said, I love hearing his voice. Steve meant so much to me. There's not a day that goes by, but don't think about it. And then the line, it's taken some time, but now we can reflect on him with joy instead of with sadness. And there really did seem some times where he just needed Tim needed a moment just to collect himself and move forward. It really was a beautiful way to christen this new facility.
And I think Apple was rightly, and Tim were rightly excited about the products they were about to announce. I mean, not just a gorgeous new theater, $1.4 million per seat theater. I don't know. A couple of people tweeted it felt still very intimate, kind of felt like the theater at One Infinite Loop, kind of small and intimate, although it holds 1,000 people, only 350 journalists, I guess, in there.
Yeah.
A lot of Apple people, board of directors. Lorene Powell Jobs, Steve's widow, was there in the front row. Wozniak was there with his wife, Janet. Apparently, I didn't see him, but Al Gore was there. Johnny Ive was hiding under a baseball cap. This was a special event for Apple, more than just new products. And for the first time ever, Angela Ahrendts, the new head of Apple Retail, the woman hired away from Burberry, came on stage wearing, I didn't realize it, a Burberry coat, a pink lace Burberry coat. First time she's spoken. Apparently, she's very shy. And what she talked about was a reinvention of Apple Retail, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, I think that... Yeah. Go ahead, Andy.
No, I was going to say, they really did... expand the vocabulary about what they're doing with retail. This is the first time I think that I've heard them talk of like the town square concept, where they for the larger stores, for the landmark stores, they really are trying to create a gathering space, not just for people who need to get their phones fixed, but for just you're in the neighborhood, you need a place to meet before you go to dinner, to go to the theater. Hey, let's meet at the Apple store. They got Wi-Fi. It's pretty. They got places to sit. They've got trees. The Grove, which is what they're calling the service waiting area, a place I wasn't aware of, that for local entrepreneurs and developers, they have a space they call the Boardroom, which is a private place within the Apple store that they can come together and collaborate. I don't know how you reserve that place where you can get it for a kid's birthday party. the avenues that they call that plane of light wood, where they have those little shelves with third party hardware. They call those the avenues. They're like designed to be like shop windows and change seasonally. And also talking about, it's not just for hanging out, just for buying stuff, that we do photo walks where we'll take, you know, you walk around the neighborhood led by people showing you how to take pictures with your phone. Teachers' Day sessions led by local artists in the bigger stores. They really were making a big point of, whereas before they would use this to say, oh, look how big and beautiful our new store is. We're doing a new one in Beijing. We're doing a new one right over here. It really is more about, here is our theory of retail. Here's why we do this sort of thing. Really trying to create that impression of Apple as, we're not just, we would love to sell you $1,000 phone, but we really are trying to, when we tear apart a part of someone's downtown to put a store there, we're trying to do something better than a Dunkin' Donuts. We're trying to create something that's going to be there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and is going to improve the neighborhood while still becoming part of it, not just dropping down an Apple's pace, but look like something that's organically a part of it. So I was left very impressed with it.
We were talking during the event, Alex, that it seemed like Apple was moving the stores from a retail location where you buy stuff to a place where you experience.
Well, I think that experience has you buy more stuff, too.
And you buy more stuff as a result.
You're part of the club. Part of the app. When you start buying Apple products in this environment, you're part of a community. And a community that they have little community centers all over the world. And these community centers are the best part of town. They have great artists. They have great people there to help you. They have places for you to learn. But the only way to really be part of that club or that community is to buy an Apple product. Yeah. I mean, you can come in, but you're not going to really get the most out of it. So it's a great, I think it's a great model. When you see a lot of other retailers trying to figure out how they can pack stuff in and how they can get as much in front of you, Apple's approach to really making sure that they serve everybody with content, I think, is
there's the pretty amazing. The Carnegie Library in Washington, D.C. that they're repurposing to be an Apple store. That's a lot more space than you need for a store.
Well, and a lot of the spaces, when you go to many of the spaces I've been to Apple stores all over the world. And so whether it's Sydney or London or Paris or, many of these other ones, you walk in and you just go, wow. It's always like this kind of over the top approach.
Somebody wrote that they're really churches and they use much of the same vocabulary as churches do with the apps and the altar it's stretching the analogy, but I think you could say this is the Church of Apple and this is the Apple religion. And if you're going to come to, you want a place in every city where you can come to, you put it as be a part of the community. I might put it as be part of the cult, be part of the Apple, faith.
I think it's really leveraging on something that has always been there. Apple,
but that's how they sell so much stuff. Apple Watch, I would say arguably this is the first Apple Watch that's truly useful, but they've sold plenty of them up to now on the promise of a future.
Well, and also I've said it a couple of times in the last show, the ecosystem, that it's going to work with all the other things that I have. And I think that process is getting tighter and tighter and tighter between your computer, your phone, your watch, your TV, the devices in your house. All of those things make it, the lock-in becomes more and more intense as Apple continues to move that forward. And I think Apple went away in the stores. They went away from the community for a while. A lot of those theaters were repurposed into shelving. In Santa Monica, right. In San Francisco store before they rebuilt the new one.
Yeah, but look at malls all over the country disappearing, retail stores going away everywhere, Amazon taking over.
Because what they were selling
Apple
was
commodities, you're saying. But Apple is something very different. And I think that these are not just stores. Indoctrination centers.
Apple selling experience.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, it depends. That's a slant, obviously, and not a very kind slant.
It's a, from a business point of view, it's really brilliant that they really are training people to using positive reinforcement to say, don't buy an accessory through Amazon. Don't buy an accessory through Best Buy. Go right through us and buy it from us. So you're capturing that sale. Also, you are really reinforcing that here is a wonderful portal for everything you need to do in meat space that involves an Apple product. Here's a place to go. And it's not just here is a spot between what used to be a Radio Shack and what used to be a Painter of Light gallery store, but is now shuttered. It's it can even be an inspiration to say, let's just make a diversion to not even go to the one that's closest to us. Let's just go into Boston. Let's go to the one that's right next to the park. Let's go to the new new store in Chicago and Michigan Avenue. That really does seem more like an amphitheater sort of thing. And it is an emotional connection, but they really are delivering a lot of value to people while they're doing it. So there's always going to be a certain cult of Apple, certain cult of iPhone, but you can't. I'm very, very impressed with the fact that for a company that is a retail company that is so famous for making the most money per square foot in pretty much any retail operation, they spend so much of that square footage on things that aren't making them any money whatsoever. And just any big store, maybe Sears Roebuck is no longer there. Woolworths is not still there, but you can still see the magnificent building that they built in the 20s and 30s or the 40s to be their big city store, to make it a pleasant place for people to come. And that could be an enduring legacy of Apple.
If the American state religion is capitalism, Apple's stores are its shrines. There's a great article I read a couple of years ago. This is an Atlas Obscura. We asked a cultural historian, are Apple stores the new temples? They talked to Erica Robles Anderson, who's a professor at NYU, And I think she makes a strong case. You know, the Feast of St. Jobs, you know, is today. And if you look at, look, I don't want to overdrive this, but if you look at this image of Steve that was, 10 feet tall, 20 feet tall behind Tim Cook on the stage as he's speaking, there is a certain amount of worship going on here.
Context is everything. This isn't like Scientology. This isn't like L. Ron Hubbard. This is
It's early days. Yeah, give it time.
you're dedicating the theater that's in his name, and it's still a process. Again, from the emotion that was in Tim's voice, this wasn't just
genuine. I agree.
Exactly. So I really think that they were building up to this, and there was nothing that was going to knock down the importance of that relative to anything else in there.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that they kind of want to keep the productive version of people's respect and admiration for Steve while knocking down the worship, because the worship is counterproductive. The worship is the reason why people are saying, if there's something that is marginally not great about a beta feature that they announced was going to be a beta feature when they launched it, that's kind of encourages people to say, oh, well, you know, Steve would never have allowed that product to ship, or Steve would never have shipped a phone that has these two OLED ears around a black sensor. That's Steve Jobs worship, as opposed to here is the culture that Steve Jobs founded at Apple, and here's the culture that is still alive, and everything you're going to hear in the next hour and a half after this is not a product of Steve's brain, but it's a product of the culture that Steve created. So that's not, again, that's the difference between hero worship and saying you have to say that he did some great stuff and he's not being forgotten.
Well, yeah. And I think that you can definitely look at holy spaces and decide that you're going to base some architecture. I think a lot of people do that to give it kind of a feel. But I think that the problem that makes it not a temple is I really don't believe that there's any belief system that Apple is.
Oh, I disagree entirely. Wait a minute. There is clearly a belief system. That's obvious that if you're in the Apple belief system, you and I have both been in this where you've said, I will buy whatever they announce today. Make sure you put an order for each one. There is a definite belief system around it. And I think it's to Apple's benefit that people strongly believe that Apple is going to innovate, that if they do a wireless charger, it'll be the best wireless charger ever. You still believe that in your heart of hearts?
No, I think that's true, but I don't think.
Well, I don't know if the evidence is there.
I don't think that. No, I don't know if it. But they're not telling me how I'm going to interact with my life, with my kids, with my wife. I mean,
that's not what makes a religion necessarily. It's not a prescription for life.
There's
a true believer in. In the Apple,
I'd have a hard time finding a real religion.
I didn't invent the phrase cult of Mac.
Oh no, definitely not. But I think that is as a former philosophy major, I think that's overstated. I always have
the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. It's not that. That's the traditional definition of religion. Right. So I grant you that.
Yeah. But I think that Apple uses it. I mean, Star Wars was generated because George worked with Joseph Campbell.
He wanted to make a universe.
So he spent a lot of time thinking through that.
A cult is a system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object.
That could be more cultish.
Look at this. This is, by the way, the angelic Angela Ahrens standing in front of what will be the new Fifth Avenue Apple store. She said the cube will be back, and it's a special grove where you will go. I don't want to overburden this metaphor, but it's hard not to see those connections.
Well, I think you always take an inspiration out of those the holy spaces around the world.
Don't you feel like a better person because you buy Apple products?
No, I buy a lot of products.
It's not important for me to be a better person. It's for everybody else to think I'm a better person because
even more important.
I just can't wait until I find out what they think of me when I send them an animated emoji of poop of me talking to them. That's going to really show.
There was the profane among this, along with the sacred. We're going to get to that in just a second. Let's actually take a break when we come back. What Apple actually announced, and we'll go bit by bit. Through it, because after the retail discussion, Angela Ahrens doing her first stage tour for Apple, and I think she did a very nice job for Apple.
Yeah, they've done a lot. She's done a lot.
I love it that she wore a Burberry coat and positioned the stores not as stores, but as, what does she call them, town squares. Yep. She said, we don't call them stores anymore. We call them town squares. Might as well call it a cathedral. It's just my opinion. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you want to be in the IT business, you know that one of the most critical things is getting those certs. Those certifications that tell your future employer that you know how to do things like set up a network or fix a computer or be a security professional. That's what IT Pro TV started doing. Was, in fact, the founders of IT Pro TV, Tim and Don, were IT trainers. And they watched what we did here and they said, you know, what if we did something like TWIT but for IT professionals? Get you your certs, get you your training, and then keep you up on the skills. And I have to say, they have done such an amazing job. They now have 5 studios live all the time, 125 hours of new content every week, thousands of hours of on-demand. There's Don Pezet, one of the founders of on-demand training in every aspect of IT. So you can gain new skills, you can get the certs, you can polish your existing skills. Mac management basics, yes. Apple certified support professional, yes. ITIL, AWS certified solutions architect, many more. And of course, the certified ethical hacker cert from the EC Council. Go visit itpro.tv/macbreak and take a look at the huge range of courses that they offer you. You can watch live or on demand worldwide on a Chromecast. They have apps for Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV. You can stream it on your PC, your tablet, your phone. They have iOS and Android apps. They make it as easy as can be to watch what they're doing. With the live streams, just like us, they have a chat. They also have Q&A sessions so you can, you know, learn more. They have practice tests. And if you've got a team, if you manage a team of IT professionals, take a look at their team solution. You get group pricing, a great supervisor portal, which will give you the information you need about viewing time, logins, course completion tracking. You can gain full control over your team's training schedule, create custom groups, training assignments, see individual analytics, group analytics. I mean, it's a really nice platform. So if you're an individual, here's a deal for you. Go to itpro.tv/macbreak. And use the offer code MacBreak30 for a 7-day trial free and 30% off your subscription forever as long as you remain active. That's a great deal. itpro.tv/MacBreak. Offer code for that is MacBreak30. If you're interested in the team solution, you can also go there and sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal. Do me a favor. You can, of course, sign up for IT Pro TV anywhere for the team portal, but go to itpro.tv/MacBreak. And show them that you saw it here. itpro.tv/MacBreak. And don't forget that offer code if you want an individual subscription, MacBreak30. It's a great deal. I'm tempted to start with the iPhone X, but let's start at the beginning and wend our way forward.
Seems like a very good place to start. So they start off by talking about the Apple Watch. And I got to say that I think I was most excited about the Apple Watch. I was probably even more excited about the Apple Watch than the iPhone X, iPhone X, whatever we're calling it now.
I think you could make the case that this is the first really useful Apple Watch. Like this is kind of a breakthrough platform at this point.
No, I think that it was with watchOS 2, maybe watchOS 3, it became
getting
useful.
Better and better.
Yeah. It was this is something that I tweeted out. The latest generation watch has a lot of really great new features, but no feature is as important to the success of a platform than the simple fact that the makers have goals. They know what this thing is. They know who they're selling it to. They know who what people are expecting from it. And now that they really are leveraging it, it's a health watch. It's a fitness watch. It has other features as well, but it is a health watch. It is a fitness watch. And they open it up with a wonderful video that remember that when they launched the watch, they were showing you video of, hey, look, I can open my garage door with the watch and I can actually watch video of the garage door opening. Whereas today they open it with a series of personal testimonials, video of people reading letters that you would imagine were sent to Apple in reality, saying, here is how your watch has improved my life. Here's ways that all the way from, hey, I can have more fun to I can actually go out and be active now without being so worried about being killed because I have illnesses and I have disabilities. And then really went into The first thing they're talking about, they just glossed over that, oh, well, yeah, now you can do high intensity interval training and now there's swimming and now you can tap against a piece of gym equipment. But they just went right into this is the most used heart rate monitor in the world and explaining how they intend to take advantage of that. So it's going to be not just launch an app and get your heart rate, but also it'll get your resting heart rate, your recovery heart rate. It will, so throughout the day, it will tell you what your, if it sees that you seem to be not doing anything, it will record what your resting heart rate is and collect that data. It will also, if you don't seem to be moving around, but your heart rate has just shot up, it will notify you that, hey, there's something going on. It will also make a note of that so that that data will be captured. If there's a health crisis later on in the day or later on in the week, there will be data that your doctor can refer back to. Also talking about, I think that they're collecting data about heart rhythm and noticing arrhythmia when your heart data, your heart is out of normal rhythm when there's an atrial fibrillation. And so they're
saying, should point out that's going to be part of the research kit. That is not a feature that you'll be able to use.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Apple said that they think that the watch has been very, very effective in at least surfacing the data about this. So they also announced something they're calling the Apple Heart Study. Again, it's not a feature, but it is a study that they're doing that will notice these sort of irregularities. They're working with Stanford and the Food and Drug Administration to collect this data and use it to get a better map of how arrhythmias happen, atrial fibrillations happen. Is predictable? Is it an indicator of other problems? But it's not so much that you should be aware that they're doing this heart study, but the fact that before they even got into the really killer features of the new hardware, they want to talk about this is the most popular heart rate monitor in the world. And we have kind of it seems as though they feel a responsibility to not just simply say, and if we have a chart of how accurate our heart rate monitor is compared to everybody else's. No, they didn't bother with that. They're saying, here is what we can do with that information to, again, linking back to how they opened up the event by saying we are in the business of improving people's lives and making the world better. And you don't necessarily do that by having a $1,000 phone, but you can do it by having a watch that will say, yeah, I've been watching your heart rate over the past 3 weeks. And I'm not saying you should go see the doctor, but I'm saying that if you press this button, an ambulance will be by in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Again, not a feature that you can get right now. But maybe someday they've got to get FDA approval for that. Although we've mentioned before the AliveCore Cardia from Vic Gundrotra's AliveCore, which does have FDA approval and will do that, but you have to put your fingers on it explicitly.
And I do think that what we saw with GymKit, that they just kind of went by. Now it only works right now, I believe, with cardio. So it's the GymKit stuff
where you tap it against the machine.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's going to require specialized machines. Right now, you go to the gym. There's some that are compatible with Polar heart straps, and they will pair up. So presumably, somebody's going to make a tap.
But I think
object.
I think we're 5 years away from having you walk to the gym and you're tapping every machine and all of them are tracking what you're doing because
those are expensive equipment. Gyms don't upgrade them that often.
We would see it in high-end gyms first.
Yeah.
Because there'll be pressure from people who are wearing
it. It took a while. I mean, the Polar straps were ubiquitous in gyms, and they all had, mm-hmm. Polar monitoring became somewhat ubiquitous in gyms.
Also, people who have Apple Watches have money. So that's another
It's a convenience. I don't think that's as important as some of the other.
If you're really into
features.
Working out, I mean, if you're
it'll be nice gym, to be able to tap it, but I can still do that with.
Yeah, but it's just keeping track of how many reps you did and what weight, and all those things can be stuff that can be acquired automatically. Which really makes it easier to track your workouts and figure out what you should be doing. And what happens there is it allows AI to start being smart about, well, this is what you should be like the next time you're working out. These are the exercises that not right now, but if we look at 3-5 years down the road, imagine it watching your workout and making decisions about this is the kind of exercise you should be doing the next time to, push your deltoids.
But meanwhile, in the world today.
What they skipped over was incredible. That is a glimpse into an incredible
maybe.
Future,
okay. When that happens, we can talk about it. No. Right now it has an altimeter in it. And the biggest thing is it added cellular for $70 more. So they're going to start at $329. For the Series 3s.
Does it say whether they're going to charge you for the cellular? I don't think they will. I think that's
well, we don't know yet, but they'll charge you $70 for the capability. It'll tie to your existing account and your existing phone number, but I think that's going to be up to T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T.
T-Mobile, it won't charge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see Apple using its influence to say that no, you're not going to charge for an extra line, even though technically it is an extra SIM, but it's not something that they have to service, not anything they have to handle. If they are going to let these companies sell the watch through the store, I'm sure they'd enjoy the extra traffic. But
I would expect that you'll be able to get it for no cost, but we'll see. Yeah. You know. I can all, you know, no, hey, well, don't not, forget, this is AT&T and Verizon we're talking about. If they can charge you an extra $10 a month, they will.
Yeah, but
right.
But it's Apple is the wild card. They're the ones that can say, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to just make it a regular accessory.
And very important, so that people know that you have spent the money and you have the latest, greatest, there is a red dot on the stem to signal, I have the new Apple Watch.
I think it may look like the other one, but it's different.
I think it's more like when you use this as an excuse to buy a new one and give your old one to your spouse to make sure you don't leave the house with the wrong one.
That's a good point, too.
with a cheap one.
Some question, the chat room's been saying this, and I don't see, although this, by the way, we should say everything except the iPhone X is pre-order Friday on the 15th for delivery a week later on the 22nd. Including these new watches. They don't mention 38 millimeter. And that may be how they handle the battery issue, because you're adding a lot of capability and they claim no reduction in battery life. Maybe they are going to eliminate the smaller version, which will make a lot of smaller people, especially women, unhappy.
I'm sure they're not going to eliminate it. I'm sure they're going to just, if at worst, make it not available in an LTE model. And I could understand. I would not blame them.
I don't see it in their SKUs here. So.
Well, I don't know what's going on there. But it's kind of miraculous, given that the 42 millimeter watch did not change one bit. They said that the backing, the crystal on the back, is now a quarter of a millimeter thicker. But it's like, okay, whatever. And nonetheless, that the battery life is about the same. That's like two. Given that it's hard enough for any Android Wear watch without LTE to be a normal size like that. Let alone have LTE built in. It's like, I think this really just show off why Google seems to have put Android Wear in the back burner. I think they know that they have problems in trying to build a watch like Apple has built that they don't know how to solve right now. And while the market is such that people haven't been convinced they need a smartwatch right now, it's just very much a lot smarter for them to simply keep Android Wear current, but not really invest any money in it. But that's going to be even harder now that we're about to talk about.
So let me just be clear. They do have, somebody sent me a link. If you actually try to buy it, you will find a 38 millimeter available for GPS plus cellular, which is of course, the more complicated choice. So they are making that available. In fact, there's a really nice picker on the website that lets you choose materials. They didn't mention stainless steel, but it looks like stainless steel is there. So it's aluminum, stainless steel. And, of course, there's new edition watches for those wanting to spend $1,300. And those will come in gray as well as white now.
Yeah. I have to say, I buy the cheapest one that I can get because I just know that I'm going to want to upgrade.
It's going to be out of date.
Yeah, and so it's just not worth buying the expensive
ones. Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, but let's also point out that one of the most significant things that the Series 1 watch is still available, and now they've dropped the price down to $249.
I think that's
which is right there with premium smart watches made by pretty much anybody else. And so that is I'm very, very pleased across the board. They didn't make it part of the presentation that it is now less expensive to buy into the Apple ecosystem. But with the iPhone, with the iPad all across this year, they're now, if you got not a whole lot of money, you can at least compete with the middle of the range in competing platforms. And the fact that this is, again, ostensibly a device that can really improve your life through fitness and through actual just health tracking, I think it really does behoove Apple to make sure that there is a low cost option so that you can deliver that benefit to as many people as possible.
Actually, interestingly, the price quotes are all for the 38 millimeter version. And if you want to get a 42 millimeter, you're going to be paying more than $250. You're going to be paying more than $12.99. You're going to be paying more than $350. Right. So, not just a little, $50 more.
I do find it interesting that for all the things that Apple's been doing with the watch, I still can't figure out why they don't let developers develop the watch faces. You know, like, you know, the Apple bases? Still the faces, yeah. You know, oh, faces. So with all the, you know, figuring yeah. out, like, it's like one of those things, like, I'm curious, you know, with apps, they held
on
to it.
It's a nightmare on Android Wear because they do have an open ecosystem and a store for faces. And some faces use more battery life than other faces and things like that.
I mean, because I have to admit, the only reason I track it is because I just, I work in production and I just want a digital face with seconds.
Right.
And for some reason, Apple has decided that is not something that fits within their
betting battery life. You have to update the screen more often with seconds, right?
But they have, they update it when they have the sweep. Yeah. They just for some reason will not show seconds, and it's just like one of those things. Like
you will also have to have the watch match your phone's carrier. Not only will you have to have an iPhone, right. you will have to have it be on the same carrier. So, I guess that means you're going to be going to the store. I don't know. I guess you'll choose the carrier. So AT, and by the way, it does not include things like US Cellular and some of these other carriers. Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon in the US. Bell and Telus in Canada. Puerto Rico, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile. Australia, Optus, Telstra, and Vodafone. So you are limited. You know, you have to have an iPhone, and you have to have an iPhone with a carrier. It's supported in China, Unicom only, but later this year. Two of the other big three carriers in China.
I really hope that the fact that they now have one with LTE built in, with cellular built in, I really hope this is a step towards saying you don't even necessarily have to pair it with any phone. You can just, so long as you've got some sort of phone that the SIM chip can either clone or just create a brand new, account with. The fact that this is now ostensibly a really independent device, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got cellular. It doesn't necessarily need to be paired with an iPhone. And I keep hoping that Apple's going to one day do with this the same thing they did with the iPod and what they had to do with the iPhone, and saying that this is not an Apple-exclusive product. You can use this with any device you want to bring, because obviously we tend to think that everybody in the world who wants an Apple Watch is going to have an iPhone as well, but that's not going to be the case. And I think that to reach its full potential, at some point it has to have some sort of compatibility with Android Wear. With Android phones. And as time goes by, as the watchOS gets more sophisticated, the technical reasons that make an iPhone an essential part of the ecosystem for the watch get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I really hope that we're getting to a point where you can, if it works, if you got an iPhone, it'll work great with an iPhone. It'll work with pretty much anything. It'll back up to your iCloud account. It'll back up to anything else.
I think the challenge will be is that, I mean, if you look at the number of iPhones Apple sells and the number of watches, that could be a decade from now or 15 years from now before they need to do that. I think it makes more sense to make it completely, you know, autonomous than it would. I don't think Apple would sync it with Android. And I think that's more, and when we get back to religion, that's more of a religious issue, I think, at Apple than it is, the blood is not, you know, it's a little, some bad blood there. So,
if you have, and any of us do, a Series 2 Apple Watch, is it worth the upgrade? Because it isn't an upgrade. You buy a whole new watch. Is it worth
cellular free? Cellular
for the cellular.
I would say so.
Well, yeah. You also, if you don't get the cellular option, this one is waterproof. This one has much faster processor. The battery life, I think, is going to be
dual
longer.
Core processor. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, that's, as you were pointing out, Andy, challenging to get all of these new features in without reducing battery life. And the size, the watch is the same size, the same case.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when people get their hands on these. There wasn't a whole lot of fudge in how they described things during this keynote, but it might have been just my perception, but when they were talking about how you don't necessarily need to have a phone on you to use the Apple Watch, they seem to be painting a picture more along the lines of while you're going to the beach,
right.
You can leave your phone back at the the beach house.
But not
while
all
you're
the
going
time.
For yes. While you're going for a run, you can leave the phone back.
Right.
I'm not sure if they were suggesting that if you really want to use this to have like hands-free calls through your AirPods, if you really want to use this for the stuff that you would use a phone for, even in a minimalist sort of sense, it might be that you will only get 6 or 7 hours if you leave the phone home all day. So
I'll be surprised. I will say, you know, just being able to go to somewhere like the beach or a concert or whatever and feel like you didn't have to have your phone is just revolutionary. I mean, I think that's worth buying the phone and buying the Wi-Fi itself.
Well, Megan was saying that as a parent, the idea that she's reachable, or as a runner, the idea that she can get help is huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're also the other, another new feature. I don't know if it's LTE exclusive, but they're saying for the first time Siri can talk back. So that's another way to not only extends the importance of Siri, but also extends the importance of the watch, because that small screen is going to be really a hardwired limitation to what you can do with that watch.
Yeah.
But if you can have the watch read a text to you, if you can have the watch give information to you without having to scroll and tap and squeeze and twist, that's going to be a really big enhancement.
Anything more to say about the Series 3? I mean, this to me, as I was watching this, I felt like the watch has come of age.
It's a whole new level of tracking now that you have LTE for government agencies.
They do. That's a good point. It's got a microphone. All it's missing is a camera. It does support Apple Music. No word about anybody else. What do you think, Andy? Will Spotify be supported down the road, or is it going to be an Apple Music device?
I think it's going to be an Apple Music device. When you talk about what a streaming app has to do, I think they're going to want to make sure that when you do get back to your house, to your phone, you're not going to be left with just 10 seconds of battery life left.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they've made it exclusive for now. And just, I think that there are a lot of things with the watch, including custom faces, that it's okay. They feel internally as though there are things that are important for us to solve right away. Like, again, improving the health features, getting LTE on the thing, making sure we're preserving battery life, and designing new bands and preserving that sort of thing. There are other things that I don't think we're losing any sales because you can't get custom watch faces. And I don't think we're losing any sales because you have to use Apple Music instead of Spotify. I don't think they're going to lose any sales that way. And so while that's on the board, that's why they want to do, I don't think that's something that was important for them to do in 2017.
I do think that it shows you the strength of a huge company kind of slowly wading into a market where, you know, this could become over time a real uphill battle for Spotify when you have a lot of people that might move to Apple Music because they want to use it with their watch, you know, and say, well, you know, maybe they'll have both of them and then maybe they'll just move over to Apple Music.
Hmm. Yeah, why not? I mean, doesn't Apple do that? I mean, isn't that kind of an Apple-y thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, just that the ecosystem becomes hard to turn down.
It's especially vulnerable with something like Spotify where there's only a limited number of months that someone's going to want to pay 10 or 15 bucks a month to two different organizations for the same music library, ostensibly. And I think the only thing that's keeping a lot of people in Spotify is the question of how do I move my playlists from Spotify to Apple Music, or all of my friends are on Spotify, not all of my friends are on Apple Music, and I like swapping playlists with people.
Right. All right, that's the watch. Now we move to Apple TV 4K. And by the way, we should point out, I don't think there was anything that wasn't in the leaks, right? Did we learn anything all day that we didn't already know, except maybe pricing and availability?
We got detail. I think
more detail.
We got more color to it, but I think
certainly the Apple TV 4K was well telegraphed before its announcement, right. And it's pretty much what we thought it would be, a 4K HDR compatible Apple TV. Yep. Price is better than maybe some speculated. The 32 gigabyte version is $179, and then $199 for the 64 gigabyte version. Before we go any farther, is there any reason to buy the 64 gigabyte? Are people putting so many games on there or something that you need it?
No,
because everything else is streaming, right? You don't store TV shows and movies. You store games. That's it.
The only thing that it depends on if you start taking advantage of 4K content, the buffer may, you know, it might be nicer to have a larger buffer. You know, that might be
it's not RAM. It's
still needs to buffer it, though. It's not buffering in RAM, but it still needs to hold a certain amount of that data there.
32 gigs should be enough. Come
32,
on.
You know, I would
How
buy
big
them.
Is that going to be?
I do think that if you were a manufacturer that had a lot of non-HDR TVs, this along with some of the other pushes, I think is, you know, makes it hard.
Everything's HDR going forward.
Now. 4K HDR is the only way to buy a monitor at this
They
point
do support, TV. And I was pleased to learn this, two of the big HDR standards, the biggest two, HDR10, which is kind of the open,
right,
widely supported format, but also Dolby Vision, which is some
I think
consider
at this
better.
Point we have a winner between the two. I think Dolby Vision's better.
That's the one that's going to win.
I don't know if it's going to win, but it's definitely, those two are going to be formats that are going to
continue. And then there's an IMAX format. There's some other HDR formats.
There's a bunch of other formats that are going to have an uphill battle now. You know, as Apple and other companies start picking winners, you know, from their perspective, it gets harder and harder.
I was disappointed I didn't see a new user interface. And one of the reasons I don't have a lot of apps on my Apple TV is because then you would just have to scroll through pages and pages and pages of icons. I guess it has folders, but it's not a great user interface. And as some are pointing out, a little disappointing that Apple did not change the fabulous remote. That is so widely reviled.
That's here to stay. I think the people who hate the remote are going to be using their phone. I don't think they regard that as a problem that they have to solve.
There were rumors that maybe they'd put texturing or do something on that, but nothing. It's the same, as far as I can tell.
Again, I think they're going to do a bigger change than that if they decide that they actually need that. But there's some other cool stuff there. So I don't think they necessarily had to redo the interface because I don't think apps are important on the Apple TV to the extent that they are on an iPhone.
Right.
I think that there need to be hundreds and hundreds of apps so that I can find the four to maybe maximum of eight apps that are important to me. And they were also very, very smart. And you'd think that the big announcement would be, oh, now finally it's 4K. But they say, yeah, it's 4K, but they really put a lot more time and effort and the demo about talking up HDR, saying that, no, it's better pixels, not more pixels. So they're really, that was very, very smart. That's the thing that people are really going to blow people away. The first time you get an HDR-capable TV, it's like the 4K set, it's great when you've set it up and you're standing 3 feet away from it with a remote control saying, oh my God, it's so much detail. But when, by the time you walk back to the sofa, you've kind of forgotten all about it. It's HDR that makes it a much more pleasant experience.
I like HDR. I agree. I think that's a huge deal.
They did a couple of nice things where they're saying that if you bought that 4K movies are going to be the same price as HD movies, and all the HD movies you've bought, content you've bought through the iTunes store will be upgraded to 4K for free.
And that's huge.
I'm guessing that was not a trivial conversation.
Yeah. I mean, the movie, we knew these negotiations were going on, and the movie industry said, you're going to have to charge more if you're going to sell UHD movies. And to say you've already bought, it constantly annoys me. I bought the Undersea World of Steve Zissou, the Wes Anderson film, in SD years ago when it came out. And it's always bugged. Or maybe it was the Royal Tenenbaums. It's always bugged me.
Right.
Will it be upgraded?
That would
be nice.
I don't think so.
No, only the HD stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and the... I gotta
buy it again.
I think that the leverage, that Hollywood's leverage, is slowly waning. I think that Apple is able to go to them and say, well, we're going to have, you know, Netflix is going to be 4K. Did you see the studio that we bought? I just thought I'd remind you, it's really nice.
Yeah.
We're not going to need you for much longer. You better make this easy for us. You know, I think that is the conversation that's starting to happen.
Well,
in Hollywood.
They got leverage.
And it didn't need to be that way. You know, it got put that way because people played hardball and they thought that they'd be able to cash in. And now it's sliding out from under them.
I'm thrilled.
Especially now that Disney has been making rumblings that, hey, you're not going to be able to get Star Wars, you're not going to be able to get the Marvel movies, you're not going to be able to get the Disney movies on any streaming platform but the one that we want to create. And you can't help but notice that every single image that was in every single screen was a Disney movie in some way, shape, or form. Even when they're talking about like the history of of color TV, they use the image of an old-fashioned TV running like a 1960s TV show. It wasn't Bewitched. It was, you know, Disney's Wonderful World of Color. So I think Apple is going to be first on the line to get whatever streaming service that is. So that is a lot of leverage that they've got against whatever company that they're trying to negotiate rights for. But speaking of other companies, they did mention that Amazon Prime is coming still, quote, later this year, unquote. So maybe not next week, as I was kind of hoping, because I didn't realize how much content I've got on Amazon Prime until I started.
Yeah.
Until I installed it on another set and said, oh, that's right, I did buy that TV series. And oh, that's right, there are these three documentaries that are only available on Prime now. And oh, no.
I stand corrected. People who have been pixel peeping the images from the event say the remote has been modified. It now has a menu button, and the menu button has a white circle, a lit white circle around it. Maybe it's not lit. Maybe it's just white. But that will very much make it easier to figure out which end is up.
Right.
So maybe that is a little bit of a response yeah. to people's complaints about that remote.
Yeah, it'll help you find out what end is which. It's not new, that menu button. I think that is
it. Oh, the menu button was there. It's just the ring around it that's different. All right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still doesn't help when it gets in it, when it starts changing the channel when it's in between the seat cushions.
I told you I keep mine
in a drawer because I accidentally hit it all the time.
I will say that I have a bunch of stuff going into my TV, so I have a Harmony controller.
The hub is great,
and you have but you have a whole new respect for that the little Apple controller when you have the Harmony one because you're like click click.
Oh, you need the Harmony hub that's either a phone app or your voice with Echo. That's what you need. Yeah. Go out and go hi-thee to a store.
Yes.
Anything else to say about the Apple TV? They did mention that the TV app will have live sports and eventually live news.
Yeah.
Live sports through ESPN.
Right. And notifications about, if your favorite team, there's a game starting, stuff like if it's a close game that you're not watching, it'll say, oh, by the way, the Sox Yankees game is in the 11th inning right now. And
that's cool.
There have already been three brewbarbs that you want to check out.
That's through
the TV app, not necessarily through Apple TV.
Yeah,
but it may be people still have to create a reason for people to do something with the TV app, except for drag it into that folder they like with the Stocks app and the other apps that they don't want to. They would deinstall if they could.
I do have a folder for all those apps. There's the I think I call it legacy apps.
Yeah, here is the footnote. On the Apple TV, there's a footnote next to the live. See, it says here, and streams live sports and news, footnote one. So let me go all the way down and read footnote one. Subscription may be required to add some content. Live sports subject to blackouts. No, not all content is available in 4K HDR. 4K resolution requires a 4K capable TV. Playback quality will depend on hardware and internet connection. Available in iTunes. Title availability subject to change. Some applications are not available in all areas. Application availability is subject to change.
Member FDIC.
Batteries not included. So I'm parsing that, but it sounds like you'll have to subscribe to something.
I'm fine with subscribing to something if I don't have to type in my stupid code. You know, I'm a cord cutter. I haven't had.
Yeah, cable you have to. I have to log into Xfinity all the time for me. But
I don't have. I can't do that. So I'm just like, okay, well that doesn't exist for me. You know, like it's just like if I have to log into that, I'm like, as soon as I hit that,
Showtime asks me like. Every 3 weeks, I have to reactivate the Showtime Anytime. So it's really frustrating.
Like, I like HBO Now because I can just...
better.
HBO Now, I pay my $10 a month, and then I'm done.
Is that all? I thought it was 15.
I don't know what it is. It's a credit card.
It's plastic. It's not money. It's not real money. So the Apple TV models will... I guess they'll continue selling the non-4K Apple TV with it, but the new remote, the ring, around
the
menu
on the
remote.
On the non...
Well, you want to know the price? I'll tell you right now.
$49.
So $149 for the original Apple TV, $179 for the 32-gigabyte 4K.
And for $20 more, you get another 32 gigs.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
That's all I'm saying.
So you should just say go for 64. That's you don't know now, but it's not like you can add a SIM card and put more memory in there. Dolby Vision HDR 10, 2160 output. It's nice they put the iPhone 7 processor in there, the A10X Fusion chip.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get one to test, and that's there are some apps that aren't necessarily optimized well. That on my first generation, on the current generation Apple TV, it can't stream something that I've recorded directly off the air at 1080. Off of my file server here. That's the one whereas I've got other boxes that can stream it directly through Plex. Others, it'll choke after like 2 or 3 seconds unless I transcode it to something else. So I'm wondering if that 10X processor will help me to be able to stream that thing directly.
Apple also, and I'm really puzzled, they announced the successor to the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, the 8 and the 8 Plus, which are, you know, they've got glass back, so they have wireless charging now. The camera, the wide-angle camera is a little faster. I think it's f1.8 now. But there are minor improvements to this. Of course, iOS 11 brings a lot of improvements, but they bring those to any iPhone. who's going to buy this phone with the iPhone 10 looming next
October? I think it's
October.
People who decide that they have just drawn a line that they're not going to spend $999
it's
on a
too
phone.
Much.
I mean, I think they're just going to. There's some people that are just going to like that's too much for a phone. You know, I'm not going to. Okay. I'm not going to go down that path. I think that's who buys it because otherwise, why would? And some people may want. I think also. There are people who are not going to want the Face ID. They're going to want, especially
right.
After
well, you
the
still
small
have Touch
bobble.
ID. You also will get, besides the new processor, presumably new augmented reality capabilities because of the new processor.
Not really.
Maybe
I don't. Think, I don't think the iPhone yeah, they, 8 really got, has a lot well, of. And to be honest with you, I don't think that I don't think the iPhone 10 does either. I don't think it has it, other than being able to animate people's faces. It doesn't have an outwardly pointing depth sensor, so it's not really. It's
only one facing
giving you
tango for the
like,
face recognition.
Yeah, you're not going to get the tango like.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, quantization of the world around you,
right?
But also, don't they both have the same A11 Bionic chip?
A11 Bionic, CPU? Baby.
I think so. That, it would be the same
faster
GPU,
chip.
The same right. The same onboard neural network.
Also,
stuff,
True but, Tone display in the 8.
I've decided we're going to get rid of all of our color accurate monitors and just put little iPhones. And just,
True Tone adjusts for ambient light, right? Is it more accurate, though? Is it DCI-P3? Is it?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Are they still saying, I seem to remember when I was talking to them about it when they first did it, that they weren't willing to say that it was a standard, but they were willing to say.
Why?
As if they engineered it to meet that standard, but it was not certified for that standard for whatever reason.
Well, and the reason I ask, Lisa and I both have iPhone 7 Pluses. I was just talking to Lisa. She says, I think I'm not going to get the 8. I'm going to wait for the 10.
I'm waiting for the
10. I wonder how many people are going to do that.
I gotta say that I wasn't terribly impressed. There was nothing about the iPhone X that made me think, "My God, this is a game changer."
Let's not talk. I want to save the X.
All right.
I'm sorry. No.
And
but
talk about
I'm
the
saying,
8.
I'm saying compared to the iPhone 8. I'm saying that I see a bigger improvement between the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8, between the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10. So I mean, it's not necessarily the money. It's just that, and we'll talk about this when we go to the iPhone 10. But it really didn't seem like they certainly built this up about. I think the line they used to introduce this was that there's again this is iPhone 10 stuff, but they really set it up as we're going to revolutionize phones as much with this as we did with the original iPhone. And I see a very well made, very beautiful phone. I see what I was sort of anticipating a few months ago before the major leaks hit, which is that they're going to make a very, very beautiful product that aesthetically it's going to be beautiful to hold in your hands. It's going to be beautiful to look at. It's not going to it doesn't seem like something that is going to change the way that I use a phone. However, so I really think that it's going to be an interesting question to see who's going to spend the extra $200 to $300 to get the iPhone 10 over the iPhone 8. Because for people who are still using, let's say, an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 5, who buy phones, let's say, every 2 or 3 years, I don't know what I would tell that person if they're asking me, should I buy the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 10? I think that I would say, buy the iPhone 8 unless A, you have you hold the new one in your the 10 in your hand and it's so gorgeous you got to have it because again it's nice to have nice things in life. I don't think that people are going to be disappointed that unless their job involves them requires them to wear gloves and they have to keep taking them off for use Touch ID to unlock their phones. I don't think that this is anything that's going to really change the way they use phones. So that's just my opinion.
So Apple will be offering, and I mentioned during our live stream, this is kind of like late day iPod SKUs. They'll be offering probably the largest number of iPhone SKUs ever. They're going to keep, at least apparently, according to the webpage in this keynote, they're going to keep the SE at $329, the low price leader. They're going to keep, this surprised me a little bit, the 6S and 6S Plus. Those are the ones. Those three have headphone jacks. So that's for the people who need headphone jacks. They're going to keep the really strange to me that they're going to keep the 7 and the 7 Plus because those are so close to the 8 and the 8 Plus. But they're going to have the A10 Fusion chip, and then you can go to the 8 and the 8 Plus with the A11 Bionic chip. Or, and we'll talk about the iPhone 10 a little bit later. So that is three. Six, eight models And within those eight models, you know, lots of colors, lots of... This is very much like the late days of the iPod, where you had a wide choice.
I rarely say this, but I would say that, you know, this is not something Steve would do.
Yeah.
You know, like when you look at this, like this is
famously, that's the first thing he did when he came back to Apple, cut all the SKUs.
I think the problem this is creating is exactly what the advantage that Apple had for a long time, which was that I don't have to make a lot of choices over this. I mean, I remember the mid 90s when Apple had so many versions of a Mac that I couldn't understand which one. Like, I wanted to buy my parents one. I ended up not buying one because I couldn't understand. Like, I was like, oh, this one's got a CD-ROM, and this one's got this other thing, and this one's got another thing. And I think there's too many notes. You know, I think that's, you know.
I think this is an indication that they're seeing a lot of data from the Android side of things. I love the fact that the minimum buy-in for an iPhone is now $350. I think that's wonderful. I think that they're covering every single price point that's out there. Now they have price competitiveness with the complete Android line out there, except for the really, really inexpensive ones. But I don't think that they have the capability of doing a $200 iPhone the way they want to make one. But we're in a world right now where a really, really good Android phone costs $300 to $400, not $600 to $900. And I think that reflects that. It also reflects the fact that they're selling iPhones all over the world, not just in the United States of America. And whereas we tend not, it seems as though the market here will bear $600 to $700, $700 to $800, even $1,000 for a phone. There are parts of the world where $600 is the less just screw the kids' education. Let's just have a blowout and spend $500 or $600 on a phone. And it's also, I think, a point that there are going to be places where markets where you have to have a headphone jack. You can't get by with having a phone that does not have a headphone jack. So I would be surprised if there were these many models this time next year, but I think they're going to collect a lot of data over the next year about which of these phones sell, where they sell, and what features people buy them in. And then we're going to see a few models drop off the price list. But I think that part of this is just Apple not only innovates in hardware by stuff we're going to be talking about with the iPhone 10, but also they innovate in, as they keep building more copies of this, they figure out how to make them less expensive without changing the component count. And if you can suddenly, if you have your $500 phone or $600 phone that you can now sell for $400, that's almost as good as creating a brand new product. So I think this is good news. Again, it really does address what has been my longstanding gripe about Apple, which is that you don't want the subhead of their slogan to be "Go be poor someplace else. We don't care." And they seem to be addressing that really across the board here, except for with Macs, of course.
And I would expect the 6 and 7 to go away next year. I think that the 6 and 7 will go away next year. The 8 will go to a 9, and then the 9 will be the last one in that series. You know,
I wonder, once people get used to a bezel-less display, if the displays with these ears are going to start to feel very old-fashioned, and sooner than maybe Apple would acknowledge. I don't know. I mean, I look at people with an SE thinking, "What are you holding?"
I think the bezel-less display taps into what we were talking about earlier about the stores. It's if you buy something the Apple Store online, you can tell yourself that, you know, I see these two, the 10 and the 8, and you know what, I think the 8 is big enough for me. I think I'll just buy that one. If you go into the store and you hold that edge-to-edge display, it really is so cool to have a screen of that size and a device that's not bigger than what you're used to. And also the presence of it in your hand. That's one of the reasons why Apple wants you to come into a store, because you can't the psychotoxins that they coat every single one of those phones with, that makes you think want does not work through IP addresses.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting when you look at these phones next to each other, how much smaller the 10 is from the 8. You know, like it, you know, without, you take all that stuff away and you end up with a smaller phone, really, or a more usable phone in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it really is a big difference. Incidentally, P3 displays on the 8, 8 Plus, and X. So that is, that's what wider color gamut means, is P3. That's a video standard, though, isn't it, Alex? DCI.
It is.
Digital Cinema Initiative or something like that. But it is the color gamut of the Macintoshes. And it is apparently the desirable color gamut for, at least for video editors. and perhaps for photo editors, although I think Adobe sRGB or Adobe RGB.
There's so
or
many
sRGB
formats.
Or, I don't know.
I mean, you kind of open it up and you have to, you're like,
as long as it's accurate, I don't care. All right, let's take a break and we will get to the juicy part. We'll pull out the plum, the iPhone X, which I did not think it was going to be called the iPhone X. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
I thought it was going to be the X.
I thought it'd be the Pro. I don't know why they would. Well, we'll talk about
it. I feel like I should have predicted the X. That seems like the only thing they could have called it at this point.
Really? Because it's 10. Yeah. The 10th anniversary.
It's so natural. Also, it gets the job done of not being a number, so they can keep. Now they can say we have the iPhone X 2017, the iPhone X 2018, the iPhone X 2019 without having to keep increasing the number and telegraphing.
He said it's 10, not X, so they're going to have to call it the 10 2018 and the 10 2019.
Maybe he's just a Latin scholar and he has to read it that way.
I want the MMCDLXII iPhone. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. The best lender in the country, Quicken Loans, one of the biggest, but also one of the best because they're very technologically savvy. They're very forward thinking and they're beloved. All you have to do is take a look at those year after year J.D. Power customer satisfaction awards, number one in customer satisfaction, both mortgage origination and mortgage servicing. They're good. People love them. And geeks love them because Quicken Loans has created something they call Rocket Mortgage that is, well, modern. Client-focused, a technological revolution in the home loan business. Gives you the confidence you need when it comes time to buy a home or refi your existing home loan because, well, A, Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. They're trusted partners, all the financial partners that they have, mean you don't have to go out and go through your big banker's boxes with all those documents to find your pay stubs or your bank statements. You just agree to share your information with Rocket Mortgage. Just touch a button and boom, they got everything they need. That saves time, a lot of time. Last time I got a home loan 4 years ago, it took a month. I almost lost the house. Rocket Mortgage doesn't take a month, doesn't take a week, doesn't take a day, doesn't take hours. It takes minutes. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage can do all those calculations in seconds and based on your income, your assets, your credit, offer the home loans for which you qualify. You choose the rate, you choose the term, and bada bing, bada boom, you got a loan. Does anybody own bada bing, bada boom? It feels like that might be owned. Trademark, copyright.
The Fifth Element.
I feel like I have family from Jersey. I should be able to say that. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Now, maybe you're not buying a home right this moment, so bookmark that so that when the time comes, you'll be ready. rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support.
Mm. I'm pretty sure that the trademark for Bada Bing marinara sauce has got to be taken by now.
Doesn't like Jack in the Box or somebody have a Bada Bing Bada Boom? I feel like I've seen that, but I don't think you could trademark that. Who knew you could trademark Let's Get Ready to Rumble? Right? You just don't know these days. Everybody owns something.
Who trademarked that?
The guy who says it. Well, you can't say, if I said it, Rowdy Piper, but whoever that announcer is for WWE.
That announcer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he owns it. You can't say it without paying him a royalty.
Imagine how much it cost to have him like say that to the tune of Happy Birthday.
Oh, man.
That got invalidated.
Yeah, it did. I think we can now sing Happy Birthday. Yep. Although the other day I was in a Chevy's and they still sang that silly song that they sing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't want to pay for Happy Birthday.
Well, I think that is now part of the manual. Can we change that? No, it's part of the manual.
It's in the manual.
It'll cost us
$20
million to reprint those manuals.
We got VHS tapes in every single store.
Right.
iPhone 8, 5.8-inch display, the biggest display Apple's ever offered. The first time Apple's ever done an OLED display. It is bezel-less. There is no lip at the bottom. No shoulder at the top, but there is a rather wide.
iPhone 8 or iPhone 10?
Did I say 8? 10.
I think you said 8. Yeah.
See, this is why it should have been the iPhone Pro. I'm just saying. Gruber, did you read Gruber about that leak? Somebody, an Apple employee, it's believed, gave out the super secret URLs of the Goldmaster.
Probably excommunicated from the country.
And of the Goldmaster of iOS 11, apparently that had all the information, including the names of the phones. And Apple says, the worst leak in our history is terrible. You know, M.G. Siegler wrote a good piece on Medium saying, look, it's the job of the press to report this. There's a lot of interest from everybody, from potential purchasers to financial markets. You can't expect the press to do the job of the PR and, you know, not say a word. That employee will probably be fired if they can figure out who it is, and I have no doubt that they can figure out. I thought it was a honeypot.
Right.
I thought, oh, no, that's not the real numbers. They put that out so that whoever released it now is, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't. There's MG's column. How do you like them apples? So it is the 10. It's an X, but it's Tim said 10. Just okay. Like, but see, they dropped the 10 from Mac OS, right?
The Final Cut Pro 10 is 10.
Is it still 10?
It's not X.
Okay. Yeah. And I personally thought, well, they've got pros for every other product in the line. The Mac Pro, the iMac Pro, the MacBook Pro, the iPad Pro. Why don't they have an iPhone Pro? It seems, but maybe they don't want to imply Pro. Maybe they just, in fact, in a way, X implies like the X factor or like like Google's X, you know, R&D division. It's kind of the future phone. So maybe that's
Or the Tesla X.
Tesla.
It's good. Yeah. It's you easily when you call something like the iMac Pro or the MacBook Pro, people kind of know what you're talking about. You're talking about, hey, this has got a kick-ass CPU and this is going to have more expandability. What does a Pro phone mean? Right. You know, so it's not important, but I feel as though if I give it more thought, I didn't give it more thought. I felt as though that would have been a very, very good bet to have made.
X, you mean? But 10.
10, X. Now you've got me, I've actually made a note to to the emails that I'm sending people I know at Apple saying, is it the X or is it the 10?
Well, that's one of the reasons I didn't think they would name it that, because for years people have called it Mac OS X when it's clearly OS 10.
I think it's always, well, just like Mac OS X, it's never, remember that they didn't call it the Mac OS XI. You know, when they went to Mac OS 11, it's still Mac OS X.
It was always Mac OS 10.
They changed it to Mac OS nothing.
Right. Now it's nothing.
That's true.
But there was always Mac OS 10. It was always wrong to call it Mac OS X.
We're letting them inside our heads. They've won.
But Tim, I listened. He said iPhone 10. It is the 10th anniversary iPhone, so it makes sense in that respect. But I agree, Andy, that the letter X, even if it's not pronounced that way, does reflect better on what this phone really is, which is the experimental, the extreme, the future phone.
Right? I also think that iPhone 8 or iPhone 9 will be the last one in that series. So I think that's the, you know, I think you'll get one more that looks like the iPhone 8 before the iPhone 10 is this kind of, and I think what's interesting about what Apple did there is that, you know, like a lot of us got upset. I still have my old MacBook Pro because I don't want to give up they jumped pretty far ahead with the MacBook Pro, and there's a lot of people that resisted that. Whereas if the iPhone 10 was the only thing they had released, I think there would have been a lot of blowback. I think they're going to want to do that one more time, and then I think I think that the form factor that you see with the iPhone 8 will have one more that kind of ties that group together, and the iPhone 10 then represents everything for the next decade.
No blush gold, just silver and black. No rose gold. The rumors had a third color. But we also heard from Ming-Chi Kuo in the Wall Street Journal. They were having a lot of difficulty making this. In fact, Ming-Chi Kuo says they can only do about 10,000 a day, which means this will be in very short supply. In fact, this isn't available for order till the end of October, and it won't arrive till beginning of November. So you can't even get one next week.
Right.
Everything else we mentioned so far, you can order this Friday, September 19th.
And obviously, I doubt that was the plan. I think it's just the manufacturing is so complicated that it took
time. I still wonder how much of that is just due to the reject rate on the screen, for instance.
Right.
You have this weird kind of cut in that screen.
Really? Because I feel like these OLED screens have been made for so long, they're not making them. They're buying them from Samsung and LG, and they're well known. These are not. This is not new technology by any means.
I think that. I think the sensors, the calibration. I think there's a lot of things. Right,
The Wall Street Journal said they're a month off because they tried to put a fingerprint reader in it, and it failed.
Right.
And so that just put them back a month. That's all. Nothing more complicated than that.
I don't know. I mean, where would they put a fingerprint reader on it? If they were committed to that full-size screen, you're limited to just putting it in the back. And
under
if
the screen. Under the screen. That was the technology they wanted to implement. There are patents for such technologies, not Apple's.
Oh, okay.
And the story from the Wall Street Journal is they tried and tried and ended up scrapping it. And that set them back a month in the production cycle.
I don't know. It depends on what their timeline was for having to lock down that decision, because I really doubt that they would have done Face ID plus Touch ID in the same device, especially given that they were made the point that this is accuracy of having someone who is not you unlocking this phone with biometrics via Face ID is 1 in 1 million, and they put it at 1 in 50,000 for Touch ID. It really does seem as though they were moving towards Face ID as a replacement for Touch ID all along. I guess we'll find out a lot when iFixit does their teardown, because there are times where you do a teardown of a phone and you say, isn't that interesting that they decided to route this wiring harness this way? It's almost as if there was room for something that they didn't put in at the last minute.
Yeah, you're right. That would be the.
I'm sure they have their sources. I'm sure that the Wall Street Journal is sure. I'm just putting in the context of I don't understand how a Touch ID underneath the screen could have proceeded that far and resulted in a iPhone 10 that we saw that's been delayed for a month, as opposed to something that was delayed until January or something that doesn't have Face ID.
And it's not merely the delay, because the other question is. Is Ming-Chi Kuo right? They can only make 10,000 a day, because that's only 300,000. What is 3 million a month? Is what is 10,000 times 30? Yeah, and so 3 million a month is not
300,000 a month.
300,000 a month. So that's not coming anywhere near to what the demand would be for this phone.
Right, and I think that might be the reason that people buy the 8 is because they can't get the 10.
Yeah,
you know, I think the 10 could be. I mean,
I'm going to call it the X just to drive Apple crazy. And to make Andy happy.
But you're looking at only 3 or 4 million capacity right now. I mean, obviously they could increase the capacity, but if they
can only make 300,000 a month.
Well, but
even in 5 years, you don't make enough to.
Well, that's where they're at now. So it could definitely increase.
We just finished talking about how there have never been more models of iPhone in the price list ever. So that in itself can be a way of addressing here's how we're going to address shortages, by making sure that people who don't necessarily want an iPhone 8, but they have to buy it because we don't have the iPhone 7 still in the price list, they can still buy an iPhone 7. I really think they are going to still be walking people towards the iPhone 8 as the default purchase. And we're also assuming that if they had the ability that they can think about all the different pieces of hardware that are now new pieces of hardware that are on the iPhone X, that you have to have this new IR emitter. You have this new illuminator. You have this new dot projector. You have to have this new all this stuff that has to be in there. These are all components that have to be sourced and that have to work. And so it's very possible that they just simply cannot get enough of these projectors or enough of these whatever it is to meet that kind of demand. And especially for something that costs $1,000 at the minimum buy-in, that's perfectly okay by Apple there's still probably enough profit in there that they'll still get their money back and then some, as well as elevating the prestige of the entire iPhone line this way.
Well, the reality is if you get even the limit, if let's say they limit it to two iPhones, for the first 6 months, you'll probably be able to buy two and sell one for twice as much as the retail value and have a free phone.
What about face recognition? What do you guys think about that? Is it kind of what we thought it would be? Is it going to be effective and secure? Are you accepting Apple's promise that it's only 1 in 1 million people could unlock your phone?
I agree. Especially if it's resampling all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot. They touched a lot of really good bases there. Things as simple as it does not work if your eyes are not open. It does not work if you're not looking directly at the phone. So that means that the stuff that I was worried about a few weeks ago, which is what if you're at Customs and Border Control and the agent just simply picks up your phone off the desk and simply thrusts it into your face, and now they've unlocked your phone and they can do whatever forensics they want on it. Your kid is not going to be able to unlock your phone while you're napping on the couch to buy games. It does a dot projection, and so it has to be a 3D object. It doesn't look like it necessarily has to be a living 3D object, because they had at least one part of that act was showing how they made these really photorealistic masks. So they're not necessarily looking for this thing to be throwing off heat.
Well, I know they have an infrared camera there.
So they could. They could sense.
Yeah, there's an infrared camera there.
We've seen devices that do that. In fact, I think Windows Hello does that.
There's an infrared sensor on it so that it should be able to know whether it's warm or not.
Yeah. Remember that's there because the dot projection has to be invisible to the naked eye. So if it were super sensitive, it always has to be make sure that the dot pattern is much, much, much brighter than whatever the heat level of the person's skin is. I'm not saying that it would be even practical for somebody to try to create a 3D mask of somebody to unlock their phone. I'm just saying it would be interesting to see how far they went into it. But they did. They also made the point that if the things that will increase false positives are if you have an identical twin. They did have the Spock and Mirror Universe Spock, and also implying that family members with a very close facial similarity. This is why a strong password is always a good idea. A couple other data points that 30,000 infrared dots are used to create the map. It uses multiple neural networks for Face ID that are on the device, so it's not sending your face map elsewhere. Also, it's storing your Face ID map inside the secure enclave, just like with Touch ID. So all the things that made Touch ID secure and trustworthy will also work with this. So Given that they said that pair this with a really good password, it's not a replacement for passwords. It's just a replacement for Touch ID, and I'm pretty happy with what they said today.
And I also believe with iOS 11, you are able to tap it five times, one of the buttons, and it will actually go to lock. It'll lock it to a
police button. Yeah,
yeah. So you can just sit there in line and tap it, and you would be able to force someone to get the code from you, which is the of the security angle.
They also added something, by the way. I think this came out from the OS leak from last week. They also added something so that you can no longer simply when you plug it into USB on a Mac or PC, whereas it just simply said, unlock that phone or the phone is locked. We can't access it until you unlock the phone. Now they've actually made it so that it will require a password unlock, not a fast and casual unlock to get in there. So I think it's something to do with having it expire some temporary ID very quickly. But it was designed specifically to foil law enforcement and people doing forensics, to say that just if you get this person's phone, they've unlocked it recently, and you take it into the back room, the fact that you've now plugged it into USB means that it no longer trusts you. It will require a new authentication before it will mount on the desktop and be visible to desktop apps. So it's just, this is for everything that's running iOS 11. So it just makes everything very much more secure.
Apple does now support Qi charging, both in the A8 Plus and the
Can I mention one more thing? They also mentioned specifically that it works with glasses. You can put your glasses on.
Yeah, I like
on,
that. And it learns always, the Face ID.
If you've got a hat on, hat off. If you grow a beard, that's no problem.
That's a big deal, because Windows Hello does not recognize me even if I just put my glasses on.
That's
a big deal.
It talks about being able to do that while you're constantly doing it while you're changing. What I'm curious about is if you put your phone down and came back three weeks later and didn't shave, whether it would, that's too much of a change over a period of time.
I'll test that.
Well, if you put it down and came back 3 weeks later, it would ask for your password anyway.
Right.
So, that's true.
Apple's not above a little FUD, a little misrepresentation, a little exaggeration. For instance, battery life on the iPhone X. They said, well, and we do all this, and we get 2 hours better battery life than the iPhone 7. But note that the iPhone 7's battery life was not nearly as good as the 7 Plus's, and they don't compare it to the 7 Plus, and that's because even though it's as big a phone as the 7 Plus, it does not have the 7 Plus's battery life. Talk time's the same, but internet use is an hour shorter, video playback an hour shorter, and this is according to Apple's own numbers. So it's somewhere in between, I would guess, the 7 and the 7 Plus.
Yeah,
which is too bad because the 7 Plus is fabulous, but the 7 is less.
It's probably due to that OLED screen. It will eat up a lot of battery.
And all the other stuff going on. I mean,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Not to mention this new A11 Bionic, which includes artificial intelligence processing, ISP, an ISP processor, which all the phones will have someday.
Yeah, and also this is the first phone which they created their own GPU. Which is going to be a bigger and bigger deal as time goes by, because remember, the GPU is not just about gaming. It's also the artificial intelligence chip.
Yeah, they put the company that makes their GPUs out of business when they announced that they were no longer going to use their services.
Right.
That company basically had to shutter because it was their biggest company, biggest customer.
Always the danger of having one big client.
Yeah. But Apple has more than 1,000 processor design engineers, and they have the capability absolutely of doing this. They of course start with the ARM design, but then they add to it and change it and modify it.
And the advantage, and I think we're going to see Apple continue to slowly pull a lot of these manufacturing back in. Not all of it, but I think that there is a lot of advantages from a security perspective, but mostly in interaction. The more you're controlling of the hardware and the software, the more you can get these all to kind of work together much more efficiently. And I think that we're going to see them do a lot more in that area.
Camera is very impressive in the iPhone 10. Some of the features do show up in the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus as well, but this is a extremely capable camera.
Relighting looks pretty nifty.
I really love that. Now, is that in the 8 or not?
It is.
It is. Okay. So this is the ability to...
But only, I think...
It won't be as good in the 8.
I believe the 8 is only in the rear-facing camera, not in the...
Right. So the front camera will do it on the 10.
Right.
So the idea is that you can go through. It's not portrait mode, but it's a lighting. What do they call it?
Portrait lighting mode. Yeah.
Which allows you to change the lighting in real time of the person you're taking pictures of, to the point of eliminating the background entirely.
Stage lighting, they call it. So on the iPhone 8, we'll use the dual cameras to do depth perception, and then also use machine learning to identify what the human face is, and not just simply do like a burn and dodge, but also figure out, anticipate what the contours of the face would therefore be, and so give you sort of the effect of, I've got a really dramatic key light, and I've got the background fading into black, and we'll show you that sort of stuff live, and it's also adjustable. Whereas if you've got the iPhone 10, the front facing camera actually can do 3D mapping, you would assume that would do a much better job there. But just like the original portrait mode, they're releasing it in beta mode, so you can assume that whoever reviews this feature and says that doesn't work very well, they're not thinking very hard, because it'll be very good, I think, when it gets released, and then after 6 months' time, it'll be as good as what portrait mode looks like right now. But there's it also shows that it really is about computational photography more than anything else. They didn't spend as much time talking about the changes. They said that on the iPhone 8 even they're using a brand new sensor. But they used to say, here's how an exploded diagram of how our sensor works. Here's an exploded diagram of how our lenses work. Whereas they were content to simply say that we've got brand new sensors, still 12 megapixels, still 1.8 and 2.8 sensors. They said that the sensor is better, it's larger and faster, will let in 83% more light, it's more power efficient. deeper pixels, a new color filter, wider dynamic range, and lower noise. There you go. So it's 1.8 aperture, as just like on the iPhone 7, 1.8 aperture on the normal lens, 2.8 on the telephoto lens, optical image sensor, image stabilization only on the normal lens, not on the zoom one. However, on the iPhone 10, you've got OIS on both of those things. So when you're using the zoom mode, you will still get that stabilization. It won't have to go to a higher level of noise in order to make it light sensitive. They also made a change so that on the iPhone X, I should be consistent, 2.4 aperture in the telephoto, so it's a little bit faster, better true tone flash on that thing. So it looks, it doesn't look, a note that I made is when I was thinking about this, it really does seem like there is a bigger improvement between the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8 than between the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10. So if you're expecting that this was going for an extra $200 or $300, you're going to get this, the most kick butt camera ever made. It looks like it'll be better, but it won't be. I don't think that for my money, it would not be the reason to get the iPhone 10 to get a better camera.
No, I think that they're going to sell as many as they can make over the next year.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh,
I think absolutely. I think that for the I do think that, you know, their only limit to how many iPhone 10s they're going to sell is how many can come out of the factory.
Yeah, no.
And I think we'll see them backed up probably almost until next summer. I think that
it's going to be like the AirPods. Actually, the AirPods have been backed up for almost a year now.
Yeah, and I think that because they're truly doing things that are really hard, doing all of the stuff and making it all actually work. And I think that when we start seeing what I was really one of the things I was more excited about than almost anything else was to see that Snapchat was able to use the depth sensor. Yeah. So that means that there's a third party API.
That 3D map.
That is massive because what you can do with that, you know, with the ability to scan the face and track the face,
huge,
is going to be massive. I do think that you're going to see, you know, small mom and pop or even medium sized companies doing animations for it. You know, literally facial animation is really, really hard to do really well. And that was some great facial animation that they're applying to those emojis.
Yeah.
Being able to do, let's say, motion capture with or some animation, but being able to have an actual facial capture, I think you're going to see that on YouTube videos. I think, you know, someone's going to put that out where you can put and when you think about combining all of these things, the AR, the, you know, imagine being able to scan your face and imagine that emoji being your face. So right now they're just showing emojis. What we haven't seen is the next step, which is that thing's already getting color and data information about your face. There's no reason why it couldn't build an emoji that was your head. And then when you talk, it would be a little, you know, I think that they stayed away from that in this presentation. But when you talk, it talks. You're talking, you know, imagine doing Twit or this show where we're all a bunch of little floating heads.
I think that'd be kind of creepy. I think that
it would be. It'd be great.
Snapchat proved that they don't want to see Alex Lindsay's like animated 3D face. They want to see Alex Lindsay's real face, but vomiting rainbows. I had the same sort of reaction, especially if they had a new version of iMovie where I want to add in a character and to be the concierge. I want to create an animated character and I want to give it dialogue, and I can do this by simply recording what it needs to say just by holding up the phone, and then it will simply drop in this character there. What I wanted to know though was, and this is another thing I got to ask my people at Apple, is that when you open it up to developers, do they have the ability, are you giving them the ability to simply use that same camera to build its own face map, or are you giving it access to the map that the phone has already built through the secure enclave but without telling it? Is it an API that tells the developer, you don't need to know what the face map is, just tell us what needs to be laid over it, and we will do that for you while hiding that data from the developer?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because I don't think it needs to know. I don't think it needs to give you all of that information to be useful. It's gathering 30,000 points to animate a face. You need maybe 20 or 30. You know, so there, you know, it could dumb down that information fairly effectively and hand that back to you. But it will be interesting to see if it's only letting you animate something based on it. You know,
all the things they could do with this, it's not like Project Tango where it's designed to be a 3D mapper no matter how you're using it. This is designed to map a human face that's from a phone that's being held like a foot from the face. But nonetheless, there are even just from the point of view of fun, if a developer were able to simply say, if you want to scan a figurine that you've got on your anything you can put, anything that will fit inside like a 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot box,
right?
That would be a cool thing to be able to get. If, and the ability to scan somebody's face and then have that data that you can then send to a 3D printer or use for graphics or whatever. It's really, really interesting. Although that does come up with another, my only worry about the face unlocking is that, like, Barack Obama, because he's the digital president, sat for a 3D portrait. And so you can download a really good 3D model of a bust of Barack Obama. So good that you can 3D print it and it will be like a museum quality bust. So could I then like print this bust and just like keep it in the trunk of my car just in case I'm out for lunch and I see Barack Obama is having at the other table and he's gone to the bathroom and he's left his phone behind. I could just simply like grab the phone, take my 3D bust of Barack Obama I've been creating around. And because it really is a 3D scan, unlock his phone with it. Stephen Colbert did something like that, too, where there's a 3D printable scan of his face that's available. So it's like, are we going to have to be really, really careful about like what we do with 3D models of our faces?
Well, I don't think, and again, I think that they said in the presentation that those masks actually did not work as far as opening those things. So I think that there is a heat element there. But I think that what's more interesting about that is that imagine those 3D models that you have there of Stephen Colbert or whatever being able to be animated by, being able to be animated by your face. So you could take, could map Stephen Colbert or Obama's head and map your animation to them and then theoretically comp that back into footage. And we're barreling towards an area where you really can't believe anything that you see. You can't believe that people are saying what they're saying. You can't believe, all of those things.
And it doesn't matter if you could do it with an iPhone, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do it with a desktop computer. It doesn't really matter.
And you can generate, it doesn't take, if you get multiple angles of just video frames, especially as we move to 4K, of someone giving a speech, you can derive the 3D model of their face, and then you could be doing, it kind of takes bad lip reading to a whole other level of being able to add stuff.
I have to say the animojis weren't that perfect.
They were pretty good.
Well, they're designed to be fair.
They're better than Saturday morning cartoons.
I don't know. I don't think the lip sync was all that good. Really?
Do
we have video of that, Karsten? We can look at it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They're very, very low resolution little models.
Yeah.
Or something that's being done live.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. You could do it perfectly if you weren't live. Somebody in the chat room said that the reason you couldn't take out the Obama bust is because in addition to mapping 3D, mapping all the features, there might be a thermographic map.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know that, but there might be a thermographic map, which would also not work with a bust. You'd have to have blood vessels in exactly the same places, and you'd have to heat them up. And
All I'm saying is that George Washington had better improve the passcode on his phone from now on.
Let's see. All right.
I was also having some, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking that maybe you can have like two-factor authentication by like buying a pair of Groucho glasses and like setting it up so that you have to be, it scans your face wearing the glasses. So unless it's not just enough for it to be my face, it has to be my face wearing Groucho Marx glasses.
I do think that the Animoji might be the killer feature. Animoji is not available in the front camera for the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus. I'm just going to say, you might want to wait till November.
I will make a prediction. I think that the Animojis are going to be every bit as ubiquitous and popular as sending sketches to one another via your Apple Watch.
Okay, you're right.
I don't know. I think that all I know is it depends on the age group, but my daughter would, if she gets a hold of one of these phones.
Well, remember Photo Booth? That was like the great Mac demo, you just fire up Photo Booth. Not only the kids love it, people goes, I gotta have that computer.
Right.
That's
right.
The one I want.
Right.
Could turn me into an alien. Of course, we've all seen Snapchat now, so.
Now you've got me sad because it is going to be a really fun feature for kids. I don't want to think about the fact that I live in a world in which someone is buying their 10-year-old child not only the $1,000 iPhone, but the $1,000 iPhone they had to spend $3,000 for because it is unobtainable.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, what will the aftermarket, the eBay market be?
2 to 3x.
Really?
I bet you.
Especially because if you want it for the holidays.
Yep. No, it'll be intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly has changed some of my plans because I was already planning on buying one as soon as they become available, just in case they're in short supply and I'd have to wait like several months to get a review loaner and then just simply return it when I'm done with it. Now I'm like, maybe I'll buy it and then when I'm done with it, sell it. And then
you could, yeah,
you know,
you could pay for all the phones for the next 5 years.
buy a secondhand Miata or something. Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts coming up in just a second because I do want to move on. We've got another show. They're stacked up. Landing here at Air Twit.
Like a rainy day at O'Hare.
Our show today brought to you by WordPress. That's where I make my home on the internet. And if you're a business and you say, well, I don't need a website because I've got a Facebook page or I've got a Twitter account. No. First of all, you don't want to predicate your whole internet presence on a company that could knock you off the internet with just, you know, a whim. You need a page that you call your own. Do you want, when somebody searches for your restaurant, do you want Yelp to be the first thing they find? No. That's why you go to WordPress.com and you set up your stunning website. And I know why you haven't done this, because it's a lot of, you say, oh, I don't want to become a web designer. It's a lot of work. No, WordPress is easy. Whether you're looking to create a personal blog or a business site or both, it's a simple thing to do. They've got hundreds of templates, beautiful designs to choose from. You don't need experience, and you don't need to hire someone. Although, because WordPress is so dominant, 28% of all the websites in the world, 28% run on WordPress, it's easy to find somebody who can help you. But frankly, you can do it. I have confidence. You can do it yourself. Choose a WordPress.com plan. You'll be joining a lively community. That's the other reason I love being on WordPress.com. It is more than just a hosting company. It is more than just the WordPress software. It's a great community of other blogs and other businesses. And, of course, great expert support. 28% of all the websites run on WordPress. Find out why. The web's most popular and most powerful platform. I am my blog, leolaporte.com. I'm a big supporter of WordPress. And by the way, I've set up the blog by email, so when I go on vacation, I can just email because the internet's slow sometimes when you're out in the real world, away from this oasis, this 10 gigabit oasis. WordPress.com/MacBreak. Get started today, 15% off your new plan. Yeah, 15% off at WordPress.com/MacBreak. I've been using WordPress since the 2000s, and I love it. WordPress.com. We don't need to do picks this week unless you guys have brought any. I think the pick is a new Apple Watch, a new Apple TV, three new iPhones, including an iPhone 10, which everybody's going to want, but cannot order until the end of October. What is the actual date? October 27th, I think
so, yeah.
And then if you order October 27th, you'll get it on November
3rd.
Yeah. A week later.
You will be the coolest person in town.
And you will be the one of the few, the proud, the broke.
How many people are going to be sitting there? It gives everybody enough time to build their schedule around the fact they're going to be there at
12:01. And our advice, of course, Friday you can order all the other stuff. And our advice is to use the app on iOS, right? The Apple Store app. Yeah. Because that seems to be the best way to get into this things.
Yep. Also, there are fewer people who are using that, using the app to order. So that in itself gets to the head of the line.
You have an advantage.
Suffice to say, there are going to be a lot of people who are a lot of people on October 28th who are coming in late to work because they're up until 4 a.m. wondering, oh, no, is it? The 27th California time? Is it 27th?
It is. It's California time.
So it's 9 p.m.
9 p.m. East Coast.
Oh, no. So 3 a.m. East Coast.
3 a.m. Oh, you poor guys. You got to get up early. I was on the East Coast last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having to get up at 3 in the morning. Oof. I will be in France this year, so I don't even know what time that is. I think I will. I don't think you'll have to get up. Will you have to get up this Friday at midnight? Will anything be in short supply?
I don't think so.
No, I think they voted at all.
It'll always be, if you want to get the iPhone 8 that is the color that you want, the size that you want, and the capacity that you want, then, and you want to have it as soon as you can get it on day one, then yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. I think they're kind of on top of it. I think that maybe you'll, as usual, it'll be 2 or 3 weeks before you can just simply walk into a store and pick up whatever you want. But there are a lot of people for whom it's day of release is really important to them. So
yeah, I wonder if the iPhone 8. I think inevitably Apple will say in a month it's the fastest selling iPhone we've ever made.
Right, of course.
But it feels like there's always that hovering over the horizon, the next iPhone. But now it's actually tangible.
Right.
I wonder if that's going to impact it.
I think they can, the great thing for Apple is that they can afford it. They can take a risk.
They've done it before. They killed the iPod with the iPhone, right?
But they did it slowly. This one is like they can be taking a risk and just saying, we're going after something. And even if they didn't have a great quarter, they'd be fine. But I think also selling the watch and the Apple TV at the same time before the end of the quarter, in hopefully good supply, I think really puts them in a position where it would be great. It'd be great news for Apple to say, hey, we didn't make as much with the phone, but we have two other things that made a lot of money, because that's something that a lot of investors worry about.
That's all that matters. It's the next thing.
Other things are coming in. And I think the watch is now really growing into that other accessory.
I have to say, this to me, the Series 3, not that Series 0, 1, or 2 were bad, but Series 3 feels like the watch is coming into its own.
I think this is what Apple envisioned.
This is what they wanted to do.
And they had to cut down technology wasn't there. They weren't ready. This is the watch that I think that they thought of when they started making it.
I disagree. I think that what happened was they had no idea how to build this. They had no idea what features it should be. They had no idea whether they should sell it as, this is the most wonderful accessory to your phone. It took a couple of years of watching people buy these and watching how they're using them to realize that, all we have to do is make it an amazing health app, amazing health device, and anything else is going to be a bonus. And like I said earlier, it's the fact that now that this team now has a direction and a focus and a point of view that says that what can we do to make this a better fitness device, a better health device, and anything else can just go pound sand until the other health features are done. So it really is super exciting to see what's happening with the Apple Watch. Like I said earlier, I think that of all the things that were presented, that's the product that really got me most excited. And it's not even necessarily because of the new hardware.
Will you buy a new one?
I might. I mean, I'm an Android person, and I like this Apple Watch so much that I bought my second.
You have an edition. Are you? That's the edition you're wearing.
No. This is the first generation. Oh, okay. Just basic aluminum one. But I bought a brand new,
band that makes it look fancy. Because I still like
my rainbow band, but it's kind of loud, and sometimes you want to have something kind of simple. But yeah, I mean,
that's your dress that band.
The fact that I use it in airplane mode 24/7 and without connecting it to and I connect it to the phone maybe once or twice a week just to sort of boost up data between it shows you just what a great watch it is. And also, by the way, if you keep it in airplane mode, you get like 2 or 3 days of use out of it. You don't have to get like a day and a half. So I'm really excited for the day when Apple simply says that so long as you introduce this via Bluetooth to some sort of an iPad or an iOS device sometime, we're good. Or even better, so long as at some point it's on a Wi-Fi network where you can access whatever server we need to simply get the health data off of it, we're good. Because even as a device that is not connected to any computer, any phone whatsoever, it's a really swell watch. And I am sort of tempted to see to maybe in a few months' time get the Series 3 and maybe even get the LTE version because the breakthrough with the Apple Watch, I think even for Apple to realize, is that all they had to do was build a cool watch, because there are $400 cool watches that aren't digital, that aren't smartwatches, and people buy them and they love them. And they got here. They became the number one. They announced during the keynote, we used to be the number two watchmaker in the world. Now we're the number one watchmaker in the world. Again, they didn't get there certainly by features. They got there because it's just a cool watch.
Well, number two is Rolex.
So maybe not dollars per unit, correct? So
how many watches, really? How many watches does Rolex sell? How could it? I was surprised I didn't see Swatch or Timex.
They're down there. They were there.
They were there, but what number two was Rolex, which really surprised me. Unless I misread that. I might have misread.
So maybe they are going by dollar volume, just simply dollar units.
It might be dollars.
I don't know.
I'm going to buy a red dot and put it right on there. Yeah, and
someone's going to make one. I don't think you have to buy one.
That'll be my new watch. No, I definitely want the new watch. And I have to say, there's a 4K hole under my TV.
Oh, yeah. I'm
ready for the, you know, Apple.
Yeah, I think the only things that I wish I saw in the iPhone X was, of course, I really want a stylus. Because, I have to, like, to annotate things.
Have you heard of the Note 8?
I know. It crossed my mind. So, you know, being able to do a stylus, also a front-facing depth camera was something that I really hoped for from an AR perspective. As an AR developer, I want to see.
So it's only rear-facing right now.
It's rear-facing. So
why does front-facing matter?
Because right now, between those two cameras, they don't really get a lot of great, like, they don't really understand the scene they're looking in. That's why AR kit is kind of where it's at.
I have to say, we thought this would be, and everybody said, the breakthrough in AR. Wait till you see what Apple's doing.
They showed another game. You know, and again, it isn't
even technologically as sophisticated as you pointed out, as Google's Tango.
No, it's definitely not. But it's also, but Google had to go back and had to
simplify, AR.
Had to simplify their AR solution because of that. I think that Tango is, as we've been doing with both platforms, and Tango is a much more advanced understanding of the scenery around it. I think Apple's saying, well, we don't need to do that right now. I was hoping to see something that was a surprise.
Is this going to be a breakthrough in AR, though? I mean, is everybody going to now embrace it? Or is this just another Pokemon Go moment? I mean, people...
No, I think that... Well, AR is going to... You have three of the largest companies in the world that are competing head-to-head for the AR.
Microsoft, Google, and Apple.
Well, four, I guess, because like Facebook as well. I mean, Facebook is also doing that. And so I think that there's a lot of money getting flushed into the system, and it's going to be there for a while. These folks are looking at this as a long-term development. I think that a lot of these AR solutions, exactly what we saw in the demo, was someone holding up something to play a game. That is not compelling to me. Yep. Like, it is not compelling to play a game where I'm holding this phone up.
Eventually your
shoulders are going to get tired. You're going to get, so to me, there's
you're
a lot
trip
of
over the Roomba.
Well, there's a lot of great AR solutions. If I know what this room looks like, there's a lot of AR solutions that I can say, I want to put this on the table or that on the wall. But right now, the Tango knows what that means, but the iPhone doesn't, and that makes it much more. It makes those games that they showed really cool. It makes a lot of the real features of AR not available. So it slows the AR. The fact that it didn't happen, it'll slow AR development down.
All I can say is I'm just glad I don't have to buy Robert Scoble dinner in Paris. Thank God.
I don't think that was a hard bet.
No, my mistake was not saying, what are you going to give me if you're wrong? I forgot that part.
Right,
I always forget that part. Mr. Andy Iannocco, Chicago Sun-Times, I'm sure you want to get off and file. You've been taking notes. You got business.
Yep. I got it right tonight, and it'll probably be on the site tomorrow sometime. Depends when my editor gets to it.
Thank you so much for being here. As always, you'll find Andy's website, cwob.com. He's on the Twitter, at I-H-N-A-T-K-O. And he's Andy I on the Flickr. Follow his photos because he's a great photographer.
Thanks.
Alex Lindsay is at the Pixel Corps. And best way to keep up with Alex is through his Twitter account, at AlexLindsay.
And the classes and membership will open this week. Tomorrow or Thursday. We're trying to finish the site. Finish the pages. The new site went up over the weekend. We are going to actually roll out the membership in the classes. So if you're interested, you go up and sign up for one of the interest lists, and we will get back to you and make sure that you get the best price and all that fun stuff. So
go to pixelcore.com.
Yep. And you'll see membership up at the top, and click there and let us know that you're interested.
Fantastic. We are grateful to all of you for joining us today for kind of a special episode of Mac Break Weekly. Renee Ritchie will join us next week and give us his hands-on impressions of the iPhone X and all the other new products. He's in the demo room as we speak. Along with Serenity. Maybe we can get Serenity on, too. I won't be here. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off. Who's hosting next week? Is it Andy?
Nope, I'm back up. I think it's Renee.
Renee will be hosting next weekend, then you're the week following.
I I'll have to check.
I don't know. Carson's telling me. What is it?
I will.
Alex, you're hosting it?
That's the current story.
Wow. This will be exciting. So we'll look forward to those 2 weeks, and I'll be back in October having ordered every product Apple can sell except for the X, which I'll have to wait till the end of the month for. We do the show normally, if we're not delayed by something like, I don't know, an Apple announcement, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC every Tuesday, right after iOS Today. iOS Today, we didn't want to do it this morning because we thought, well, it'll be immediately obsolete, so we will be doing a special iOS Today tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, so that we can talk about iOS 11 and the new phone and the new watch, the new Apple TV. Megan Maroney and I will be here tomorrow. We'll be back at this time next Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for Mac Break Weekly. Thanks for joining us. But now I'm sorry to say, for everybody except Steve Gibson, it's time to get back to work because break time is over.